producer Chris Lindstrom here. We're here for just a little sip of Level Up Coffee Podcast, and we're talking Starbucks Corner today with hosts Wade Reed and Aaron Pascucci.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, Wade. For that Wade, sip. Can you give us your best slurp?
Someone give me a spoon. Yeah. What have we become? Yeah, we're just going to take a quick, in this mini episode, some news came down recently about Starbucks. And love them or hate them, Starbucks is coffee. And I think this is really cool news.
That is their national, that's their national slogan,
Starbucks,
by the way.
Starbucks is coffee.
Starbucks is coffee.
It's coffee.
Mm. You can, yeah, Starbucks is coffee.
What is it? It's coffee.
It's coffee.
It's coffee. So, or a milkshake.
I just want to point out, I'm the only one who hasn't had whiskey tonight. So, yeah. So
if we're saying that, then Chris, you owe me a bet more.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think it was in 2021 or 2020 that the first Starbucks unionized in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And yep.
In Buffalo, New York. Shout out Buffalo.
I just saw that. Y'all.
Two of the first ones to go for unionization were Buffalo and Rochester.
Yeah. And I think one of those since got closed, right?
Yeah,
the one in Rochester got closed.
Which one was it?
It was Mount Hope. No. Yeah.
No, yeah. I forget which one it is, but it was, there were, you know, a lot of the stores that have gone through that process, there have been, depending on your terminology, things that might be considered to be retaliatory.
And that's what today's news is about. So ever since that happened, there's been a concerted effort at Starbucks to stop stores from unionizing, all the way to, you know, the National Labor Relations Board ruling that Starbucks has violated the law 100 times and filing complaints and trying to force Starbucks to the table, force them to bargain with workers, Starbucks Workers United. And 2 days ago, the CEO of Starbucks, so a message from Sarah Kelly, chief partner officer, Starbucks Coffee Company. I want to let you know that we have reached an important milestone. We have agreed with Workers United that we will begin discussions on a foundational framework designed to achieve collective bargaining agreements, including a fair process for organizing and the resolution of some outstanding litigation. Do we have applause on the board? Because
oh, yeah. 100% we do.
I want to applaud that.
And like, here it is.
And to be clear, I'm not applauding Starbucks for finally doing, you know, the thing they should have been doing all along. I'm applauding the workers, their effort, some of the just amazing, even social media campaigns they've put together. I want to applaud, you know, people like Boss Barista for constantly supporting their efforts. And just like the people who do Starbucks Workers United are an inspiration, and the absolute nonsense they've had to deal with to get to this point is great. However, it really is just step one. They literally just pulled chairs up to the table is what they've done.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, so just to take a quarter step back, also shout out to all the people who did it before there were the other stores that were there. You know,
the
first 10 of those places were going out on a huge limb against, you know, a giant multinational corporation with huge amount of power over your environment. So those people deserve that applause, because that was really
this harkens
aggressive.
Back to like the auto workers, like way back. Can you imagine being the first people to be doing this?
Yeah. And some of the retaliation that they had to deal with was maybe not the same as, like, you know, that group of auto workers way back when, but like we're talking about things like withholding credit card tips. We're talking about things like, you know, Starbucks holds an internal competition to determine who will represent them at like the official barista competitions, and unionized workers were not allowed to participate in the competition. So you love the craft, you're dedicated to it, and you want to represent this company, and they're like, sorry, you want rights, so you can't.
Well, and more or less, like, you're unionizing because you want this to be your job. Like, you don't unionize at a place you want to quit.
You could just leave, like, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing is, you know, we can all have our opinions about the corporation, but you know what? There's a lot of great people that love coffee, that really care about their customers, that care about what they do every day, that work at these locations, that work that are part of a community, right? You can, you know, we can say anything we want about it, but you know, those people are part of a community and they're the people that make those places work.
Yeah. And absolutely. Let me shout out to the Penfield Starbucks. If you are listening to this, you guys have impressed on me anytime I've been in there. They are welcoming. They correct things without question. You know, there's every once in a while, you know, I'll get something. And even if I'm like ready to walk out because I made a mistake, somebody will say something. They're like, did you like it? I was like, oh, I forgot to do this. Oh, let me make you a new one right now. Like that store is just amazing.
Yeah. And in any environment, coffee is an excellent opportunity to just have those extra touches with people where you can find exactly the thing they want and exactly the reaction that you want to see on their face. And then you can reach for it in those ways. And, you know, just because you're in a corporate environment doesn't mean you can't do that. Doesn't mean there aren't people out there doing that. And those same people are also fighting the company, you know, for their wages, for their benefits, for just the basic foundational things that, honestly, this is Starbucks. They can afford it. Like, this isn't like we're, you know, trying to squeeze the mom and pop to, you know, pay for all of our college tuition. This is a large multinational. And is that the stock price, Chris?
Well, I'm just taking a look. So, I mean, you know, we can feel bad for them. They only had a revenue of $32.25 billion in 2022.
Oh, gosh, is that all?
And, you know, I mean, it's you Wait, have and, to feel bad for them.
And how much did La Colombe just get bought for?
It's right. Yeah. Yeah. And we thought that was big, right? Right.
And that's 1 year of revenue is what we're talking about. And that's like, but that it's the scale, right? And that's like the decisions they make for workers.
Even if you divide that by 16,000 stores, right? That's a lot of money.
And I see right now the number of employees in 2023 was 380,000 employees.
And every one of them deserves the absolute best treatment. And, you know, and every one of them makes Starbucks what it is. And whether you love it or not, it's coffee. And it's some people's idea of coffee. And it's been able to make inroads that a lot of other companies haven't. So,
And it's a lot of people's introduction to
exactly that.
Their introduction to the whole industry.
The idea that coffee can be more than a can on a shelf.
Right. Yeah.
Or it was for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, your Folgers crystals. Like, I was just reading about, I don't know, it was like the introduction of Third Wave. And they were describing that the first step of coffee that we had to move from was getting those cans of Folgers out of everybody's main idea of what coffee was. So to see where we've come now is just crazy that it's reached this pinnacle. And that if you're having that as your first intro step, that's going to be a great intro step into what coffee can be for you.
Definitely. And you know, I think on a previous episode, we talked about kind of Starbucks and Pete's and the different direction that the partners went. And without that broad net of Starbucks, without that, I'm going to bring it to everyone. Does right. the independent specialty coffee market as it exists today exist?
It might not.
We might be behind a decade and a half without Starbucks just making the idea proliferate the way that it did. So like maybe I'm not a coffee roaster right now, you know, if there's not a market for something like Starbucks or created by someone, a company like Starbucks.
Well, and I think this is also like you see these steps in labor right now with, you know, with this expanding now to, you know, bordering on 400 stores, you know, how long is it until it's 10% or 20% of stores,
right,
where they have real bargaining capabilities, and then it goes to more and more. That's a lot of people that could be involved. And you see these moments that seem like tipping points. We'll be having an episode on Just Can't Not, another episode on the One Shore Podcast Network, where we talked to Amaret Miller from the Workers Rock podcast. And we were talking about some of those successes from the United Auto Workers recently and some of the creative tactics that were used. It's heartening to see that there's an opportunity for people to be able to do what they love. And yeah, you're benefiting a 100+ billion dollar market cap corporation in the end. But, you know, there are, if you're doing something you really love and you're benefiting others and you're benefiting your community, yeah, you probably deserve to be able to, you know, pay your rent.
Absolutely.
And live yeah. in the area where your store
at
is.
At least. And like, have breaks, you know, while no matter how busy it is, like, that, yeah. that's a, or have, like, fully staffed stores. I know that's a big push sure. for the unionized stores, is just to have, not be working on skeleton crews all the time. So, there are times when that's appropriate, you know, it's nothing worse than standing around a coffee shop, especially if you could have somewhere else to be that day, you know, when you're the extra worker. But, and I want to, you know, just quickly, Rochester has a history of this, right? I believe it was in textiles, right? Where after the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, like there was a high concentration of different protests here in this area. And I know that, like, a woman was even shot during a protest, April 1st, 19. I used to know this, but it was actually, I think, in the building or an adjacent building to Fifth Frame was why I knew this, right?
Oh, so, wow.
I the first blend I ever did for Fifth Frame was called Pocket Master, because it was the pocket makers and seamstresses who were first involved in the strikes. So, like, you know, this is a thing that every industry, you know, should have the right to do and has to go through, I think, if they're going to have, like, huge players who aren't going to care unless you make them. And it's a huge point of pride that started in Western New York.
Yeah. Well, and shout out to the Genesee Union as well. You know, they're working with large unions because they're a pretty large corporation, but, you know, they have workers that are paid well for their craft, and, you know, people respect what's going on there because it seems like the workers are being treated well and they represent the business well as well.
Definitely.
Yep. It used to be a thing, you know, you will see older movies where people are looking at getting jobs and you'll hear somebody saying, oh, you got to go get one of those labor, one of those union jobs. Oh, it's a union job. Oh, it's a union job. And that was a big thing. You knew you were getting something halfway decent if you ended up in one of those jobs. And, you know, I think back to, you know, teaching, the teachers union, and New York State teachers union is huge around here. The amount of influence they have, even in the political realm, is crazy to think about. National Teachers Union also, like, when you started, you would get asked, do you want to put your dues in? And then at the same time, you would get asked if you didn't have a choice in the other one. Your dues were going here no matter what, but you could become a member, because they were that big that they had already negotiated your contract before you came in. It didn't matter. And you already had all of these benefits. So, you know, walking into a profession like that is just crazy.
And, you know, I think this is kind of my last thought on this, because we are coming up on our 15 minutes here. You know, I am the son of a union, an iron workers union, entrepreneur. My dad owned his own business for years, member of the iron workers union since, you know, he was 18 years old. And when he passed away, when I was very young and my mom was left as a single parent of two children, it was the union lawyer that got her a structured settlement yep. for wrongful death, and is really the reason she was able to take care of us back then. And honestly, that settlement, it like is what primarily paid for my college education. So, like, it unions, like, you have no idea the effects that they might have had in your life or in the lives of people around you. And I think, you know, we can all do better to support every legit labor movement that we see happening, whether it's, you know, like you said, with the auto workers, the teachers unions, now with Starbucks Workers United, Genesee, like, well, all these places.
Shout out to my mom. She's part of a, you know, nurses, you know, yep. union.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Union in Buffalo Mercy Hospital. I do not know what the actual union is, but she's been a stress test nurse for, you know, probably 30 years of my life. And she's been a union nurse since she started, probably 40 years ago.
Let's not ignore the strong nurses. You know, they're right now fighting for, you know, I guess I don't want to speak for them, but they're right now engaged in a labor battle. Like, and we should, I should be much more well-educated on that. And I think we should all be, and we should all be sensitive to the reality that we never know when it's going to benefit us, and we never know when it's going to benefit someone we care about. And, you know, we're the workers. We make things work.
Well, and we should just make sure we end at least on the point that anybody who's unionized or wanting to unionize, they're not looking to capitalize and be like the millionaire doing nothing. Like half the time, like you said, they're looking to have more than one person running the store at night. They're looking to, hey, let's go from $17 an hour to maybe $20 an hour so I can live and put food on the table.
Exactly. You know, we make it work. Can it work for us? And yeah, that's, I think I'm going to leave us there. That's a great final thought. So, thanks for listening. Thanks to producer Chris Lindstrom, the Food About Town studio. Special thanks to the Lunch Adore Podcast Network. If you like the show, you can find us on Substack, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends to listen. It really helps out the show. Thanks to my co-host, Aaron Pascucci. You can find us on Instagram at levelup.wny. Please reach out with any questions, requests for future episodes. You can DM us and someone will read it. Enjoy your coffee.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Adore Podcast Network.
Come gather round, children. It's high time he learned about a hero named Homer and a devil named Burns.
Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunch Adore. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy, and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.